find it fascinating that the Mishnah tells us in Arvei Pesachim that the principal Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the principal Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, revolves around the parasha of Rami Ovid Ovi. This deals with Parshas Bikurim. Kachtom Rishis Kopri Adom Asher Tobi Me'artzicha Vosal Akoyen etc. Niso V'yomarto is maybe V'koyre, you bring the Bikurim, you recite the Parshas of Bikurim, Rami Ovid Ovi. We have many parshiyos in the Torah dedicated to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole beginning of Chumash Shmoyis, Vayiro, Boi, B'Shavach. And that's not our eco focus on the night of Pesach. In Parshas of Bikurim, we have four psukim basically that we attend to. In Potzuk Ches, which is in the middle of Zarami Ovid Ovi. Pasuk Hey rather, Pasuk Vav by Yoreu, by Nitzak and by Yitzienu. By then we stop because by Yitzienu la Mokam Azeh Shayach to the Bikurim. It's not Shayach to Yitzias Mitzrayim, be'etzem. Although in a certain way it is connected. So we grab 3.5 psukim from Parshas Bikurim, and that's what we keep ourselves busy with. That's the Iker Aseder on the night of Pesach. Parshas Kisovah. All the preliminary, we spend most of the time, everything we learn in school basically is the preliminaries. Yeah. Once it gets to Rami Ovid Ovi, that's it, we're tapped out. But the Iker, CPUTS Mitzrayim, is an Rami Ovid Ovi. So why did they choose, of all the things to choose, did they choose Parshas Kisovah? There are four parshiyos in the Torah which directly deal. And what do we do with these psukim? We cross-reference them anyhow, back most of them back to psukim in the first four parshiyos in Chumash Shmos. Alay Dovah, except the Chazal Tzamei Kubakovei and the Mishnah, that this is the Iker. Hello? As I've mentioned many times before, what is our deepest takara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Our deepest recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in Shiras David, which is the after of Parshas Azinu, ends with two psukim. Al kein oyiducha Hashem bagoyim, I will sing your praises amidst the nations of the world. L'shem chazamer, I will praise you among the nations of the Shem Chazamah, and I will sing to your name. Magdil Yeshua is Malkan, Vaisachesed M'shicha, Vidovid and the Zara Madaina. So, yes, with the revelation of Magdil Yeshua is Malkan, that he should intensify the Chesed for Dovid and his family. That's the conclusion of Shiras Dovid. And the question is, what is the connection altogether of these two psukim? The next thing that Pasuk talks about seems to fit very well. Okay, that's the whole point of the Shira. That's the summation of the Shira. That the Rebbeinu Shlom saved them, Mikaf Shol, Mikaf Oyivam. So we sang Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we turn all of a sudden, Magdil Yeshua's Malka. Seems to go off into nowhere. So the Malbim, in his commentary to Shiras Dovid, tells us that commensurate with the Haidah that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and exactly commensurate with that level of Haidah, opens up for us new possibilities for Bakasha, to ask of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam of the things that we want. Pshat is, Tzvila is an abstraction. I want something that's not here. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is so abstract, right? This table's not abstract. I bang my fist on the table. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is an abstraction. However, it can be the most, the clearest, most vivid abstraction in the world, but it's still an abstraction. It's abstract. So tefillah by its very definition is abstract. It's abstract, the abstract recognition of my dependency on the Akkad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hoidah is the most concrete recognition. Why? Yesterday I asked the Rabbeinu Shalom for something. Today, I'm holding it in my hand. I wanted a job, I wanted to make money, I wanted a child, I wanted to be married, a house, whatever a person, all the things that we need in life. I wanted the schus to be able to learn, whatever, all the things a person might want in life. I must follow before the Rabbeinu Shalom each day and ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for Siyata Dishmaya. I experienced the Siyata Dishmaya and I obtained that which I desired. So now I'm no longer talking in abstractions. Yesterday I was abstract. The bakasha was for something that's not here. The Rabbeinu Shalom, the Sof Kol Sof, is the ultimate abstraction, but it's abstract. Haidah is concrete. That's concrete recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm holding in my hand that which yesterday was abstract. So our deepest recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in tefillah. It's in Haidah. And that's why, I've said this many times in the past, that I found ultimately some Sefer asked the same kasha that I did. It's his own mahala. But the kasha is the same. The drosha is some Sefer. The middle section of Shemoneh Esrei is for bakasha. Then we have Ritzayas Avoido, and then Moedim is Aido. The fact that Aido has to be at the end is it in the Raisa. It's derived in the Sefri from the Brochus of Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Vezos HaBrocha. Fine, it's recorded in the Rambam and Uchus Tefillah. It's a din d'oraisa. But why is the Brocha of Sim Shalom the last Brocha in Shemoneh Esrei? It's a bakasha, an important bakasha. Okay, so put it at the end of the bakashas. What happened? It missed the section on bakasha, almost as an afterthought. You know, and they said, "Oh, gee, we left this one out. Let's put it in." You know, before we finish. You know, so the pshat. Pshat is, the Mishnah says at the end of Uktzen, the last Mishnah in Shas, that what's the greatest bracha in the world? Shalom. Without Shalom, we can have everything in the world, we have nothing. So that's, Birchas Kayanim ends with Shalom. All the brachas are meaningless if we don't have the Shalom, the tranquility with which to enjoy them. So that's the ultimate bracha. When do we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for the ultimate bracha? After we gave Haidah. Because after Haidah, we're on a different madriga. We stand on a new platform. We're worthy of asking the Rabbeinu Shalom for things that I couldn't ask him for before. So after Bakosh, then I come to Haidah, and I say, you know, there's one more thing, the most important thing. Sim Shalom Tov Ubracha. So Haidah is the concrete recognition, the ultimate recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the difference between Parshas Kisavoy and the first four Parshas in Shmos. Shmos, we were suffering with the problem. We asked the Rabbeinu Shalom for Yeshua. But where is it formalized in Haidah? In Arami Oved Ovi. This is a Parsha of Haidah. And therefore we go back to a parsha which discusses at length. The Shira Sayom discusses Shira Sayom, not the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim. So here we have a parsha of Haidah dedicated to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we can't go back. The ultimate expression to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Haidah. But let's be very careful. I don't mean Shevach, I mean Haidah. So the Vajig Zatzal defined the difference, and perhaps that's the classic difference between them. Shevach is the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The cosmos exists. The Shamayim, the Oret, space, the endlessness of the universe. The greatness of Hashem. But right now, as far as I know, the fact that the Milky Way is endless, when there are endless, countless constellations, I don't know that it plays a role in my life. If there be a few less out there, I don't think I would live any differently. Maybe ultimately the Rabbeinu Shalom, there's some, will find out that the deep, deep space has some hashpa on what we do here. Right, but right now I don't recognize it. But I do recognize it as symptomatic of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bari, look at this phenomenal world that he makes. That's Sheva. Haido is a personal dimension. That which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me. That's Haido. Arba Tzrichim L'Haidus. Four people have to recite the Birchas Hagayim. Haido. Why? Because they were saved. They holchei midborois. They went through the desert. They survived. They crossed the ocean. They were in jail. They were released. Cholish and his rapa. He was dangerously ill and he recovered. So that's Haido. That's not abstract. That's not what the Rabbeinu Shalom did to some guy in China. It's what he did for me. It's close to home. That's Haido. The night of the Seder is not Shevach. It's Haido. And that's really the Yisoy, that's what Rava tells us. That Chayav Odom Lirons, or perhaps even Laharis Atma, according to the Ram, Kiduhu Yotzum Mitzrayim. We're not relating to what the Rabbeinu Shalom did to my forefathers 3,000 years ago. That's Shevach. V'Yisonu Hayitzi Misham. We too are direct beneficiaries of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And therefore, the Seder is Haido, it's not Shavuot. Principally, it's Haido. That which the Rabbeinu Shalom did for me. That's the Pshat. The world stopped halfway. I mean, the Brisker Rav started, but you have to go further than that. Why don't we recite a bracha on the Hallow at the Seder? So the Brisker Rav cited the Ran. So the Ran tells us that there are two types of hallow. This hallow that we recite in the Beis HaKnesses, and that's that which the Rabbeinu Shalom did for our forefathers. They were protected by Adonai HaKavod. They went out of Mitzrayim, we received the Torah. Those are things that happened. The night of the Seder, when we recite the Hallel at the time of the Ness, that we're not reciting for a historical event. We're reciting that Hallel because now we are celebrating our own Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, so that's in the Gedda, that's the Hiddur Shemai. A different level of Haido. That's Haido. It's not Shevach. And that's why we don't recite the Brocha. What's the Pshat? This, the Torah's Bris, has not been spelled out for us. Not to say the Scrub may have had his approach, but he didn't spell it out. Gemara says in Pesachim, the Kuf Yud Zayin, that our Kaltzora Shalai Tovai, that Nevi'im Shebenayim, the Nevi'im in the midst of Klal Yisrael, instituted the Halal HaKol Tzora Shalai Tovai for any difficulty that we endured and we survived, the ones that are in Eretz Yisrael, we recite the Halal. Now the question is, let's say Klal Yisrael, Alad Mas HaKadosh, Zaycha, we're saved, today we were saved. Whatever happened, we were saved. The Nevi'im Shebenayim, there's no formal Tiknu Benayim. The Nevi'im Shebenayim, the Nevi'im articulated the fact that we have the responsibility to express our thanksgiving, our adore to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's not a takona that they made. That which we recite the Hallel on Pesach, on the Chagim, on Chanukah, that's a takona. Rabbanon legislated that we have to recite the takona. If we'll be saved, we recite the Hallel not because of a takoma, but rather the Avim articulated a principle. And that principle is that a Jew that was saved has to recite Haido. But there's no particular takoma, they didn't legislate. That's what a Jew is supposed to do. And therefore you can't say, Asher Shonu V'tzoyso V'tzivonim. There's no V'tzivonim. Nobody told me to do it. And he told me to say Halal on the day of Shavuos, on the day of Pesach. That's legislated. To say Halal because I was saved? That's the Hashkofa. That's the world view of Klal Yisrael, how a Jew lives. The night of Pesach, I recite Halal not because anyone legislated I should say Halal. I recite Halal because I was the one that was saved. My son of Hoitzi Misham. Not Shayach to the Broch of Tzivona. It's fresh. It's now. It happened. It's happening. That's why the Haggadah is centered around the Rami Yoyvirovi. Because we have to experience the Haggadah as Haidon. Not just the history that we were saved. That's Chumash Mois. But in Parshas Kisavo, they were dealing with Parshas Bikurim. A Jew brings for the first fruits, and he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and he thanks the Rabbeinu Shalom from the depths of his heart. The Parsha of Haido. That's the Parsha that the Mishnah tells us that we have to use for the Seder. It's the Haggadah is Haido. The Netziv writes in Parshas Boy, Hayoyim atem yoytzem. Zohar asayom azeh shal yitzosem in Mitzrayim mi-beis avodim. What does it mean? He says, at this moment we experience the presence of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very clear fashion. We merited the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence. What is mi-beis avodim? It's Yitzir Ruchness. This does not refer to the physical leaving of Mitzrayim. But rather it was a change in the Nefesh, in the spiritual makeup of Klal Yisrael. In 2 centuries in Mitzrayim, we had the nature of Avodah. Now the Rabbeinu Shalom came, and by taking us out of Mitzrayim, Zohar HaSayom HaZeh Asher Yitzosam in Mitzrayim, what took place? You left me base Avodah. You are no longer associated with Avdus. You are now an Eved Hashem to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. Avdus is beyond the pale for you. It's something that you can't even consider. It's the spiritual transformation from a downtrodden people to a people that experience Chayrus freedom. And the entire change, the worldview that changes because of that. That now I connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom and only with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the circumstances in which I lived, I'm so removed from them, it's not part of my makeup anymore. It's no longer part of my makeup. I've left it all behind. In one day, Zohar HaSayim HaZer Shal Yitzosim in Mitzrayim Beis Avodim. And the day that we left. And that's why he says in Pesach Mitzrayim, it was the spirituality, the Rabbeinu Shalom was accessible. And he says, that's the meaning of the Pasuk, Hayom Atem Yoytzim B'Chodesh Aviv. It has a halachic dimension too. The halachic dimension, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, is that we have to make the Yibur Hashanah, we have to make the leap year to make sure that the Pesach is always in the spring. But why do we have Pesach in the spring? So the Netziv has his own take. He says, the farmer who plants in the spring, you have to try to fail. Everything is going in your direction. Nature is awaking from the slumber of the winter. The weather is correct. All the circumstances around you lend to your success. If you take another time, not in the spring, then you really have to work at it. You have to know what you're doing. But if you plant in the spring, if you go with the flow, you're most likely to succeed. And he says, this is exactly what Chazal tell us. Hayoyim atem yoytzim. On the day of Pesach itself, at this time, at the moment that they left Mitzrayim, they didn't need any great preparations. Chazal tell us Pesach Mitzrayim was one day long, the Issa Chometz. They celebrated Yom Tov for one day. Why, he says? Because Hayim Atem Yetzim B'Chodesh Aviv. At that moment when you experience the Rabbeinu Shalom's salvation, you access the Shekhinah naturally, just as the farmer planting in the spring. You went with the flow. We, later on, are going to need when we come there at Yisrael, and there we live under the circumstances that we live, and we feel great success in our endeavors, then we're going to have to strive to remember the Rabbeinu Shalom. When one experiences difficulty and one is spared, the Rabbeinu Shalom is accessible. There was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chevron Yeshiva. He has his own yeshiva today, an elderly Rav, Rav Hillel Zaks. So I heard from Rav Chatzko Sarna, Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha, the Chevron Rosh Yeshiva. So he said that after the Six-Day War, Rav Zaks lived in a building in Yerushalayim, a normal, condo building as they have in Yerushalayim. And he had a non-from neighbor. And this neighbor did not like frum Jews. So he delighted in harassing this Rav. The Six-Day War came, the Six-Day War went, and all of a sudden this Jew started treating this Rosh Yeshiva with great derech eretz. So it went on for a while, and he saw this was he was serious in this vein. So the Rosh Yeshiva went over to him. And he asked them, Pidom Niyetam Amin, you became a maimon suddenly? So he told him, Kfar Kveda Rav, Ani Lo Tzalich Lamin, Ani Raiti Elokim B'Sinai. He says, I don't have to be a believer. He says, I saw the Rabbeinu Shalom in Sinai, in the war, Melchemet Sheshet Hayomim, in the Six-Day War. I don't have to believe, I saw the Rabbeinu Shalom. Person that experiences grave difficulty and he's spared from it, he naturally can experience the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now we go to Eretz Yisrael, and here we're flush with success. We have a farm and we have land, business, we're successful and tranquility. There we have to suddenly remember the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's not so easy. That we have to go about in this month, which is the birth of the Jewish people, to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because at the time when something was created, in a spiritual sense, all the Balei Machshava tell us this, at the time when something came into the world, when it was created, we can access it. On Pesach, we can access the Rabbeinu Shalom's interface with Klal Yisrael. So therefore, when that day comes, we have to shake off the lethargy, shake off the tranquility and comfort in which we live, and access the Rabbeinu Shalom. But now, Shivas Yomim Toichal Matzis. Now we're not going to do it in one day. Now we're going to have to work at it. Now it takes a week to get there. But our forefathers didn't one day in Mitzrayim, because they experienced the Rabbeinu Shalom's salvation. We were at a distance from it. At a distance is Shivas Yomim Toichal Matzis. We need 7 days to access it. And there's a very interesting symbolism in Matzah. Very interesting symbolism in Itziv. That part of the basic philosophy of Yahadus is that abstractions, abstract philosophical notions do not last. That's why we're unique in the world, we have Maisa HaMitzvahs. We have actions, mitzvahs that we have to do day by day. Why? Because since we have mitzvahs, the mitzvahs take the philosophy and they make it concrete. I believe the Rabbeinu Shalom took me out of Mitzrayim, that's true. But it's nice to sit back in my armchair and sip a coffee and think, yeah, the Rabbeinu Shalom took me out of Mitzrayim and spend 3 seconds thinking about it and go on to the next thing. But when we stop for a week And we throw all the chametz out of the house. And we make a matzah. And we make a seder. Or we make a korban pesach. This is now a concrete happening. This is not an abstract philosophy. That's the notion of mitzvahs maisius that we have in Yadus. One of our adversaries once says, I believe in Russia, he says the Jews are too difficult to convert to any other religion. He says, why? Most religions, you come to worship 1 hour a week. So, a difference to them. You worship in this place, in that place, a third place. But a religion where you're busy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, worshiping the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you don't change such people. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told us, "V'lo ye'achel chametz," that "Hayoy ki b'chayzik yod hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh," and how will we keep this in focus? Is "V'lo ye'achel chametz." We're not eating chametz. So he has a very interesting notion that it's the first time that I've seen this. I haven't seen it anywhere else. The Netziv tells us that matzah is really the most humble of foods. It's probably the ultimate natural food. Why? Because you take the flour, you take the water, and basically you do almost nothing to it. You mix them together, you put it in the oven, and you bake it. So basically what we have here is God's ingredients. No metamorphosis that the human being has produced. The bread, let it rise, whatever, it's a whole change. I produce something that wasn't here before. And he says that's the essence. The essence is to realize that wherever we are in this world, whether we're in Mitzrayim, whether we have a country in Eretz Yisrael, and we are involved in all the affairs of state and commerce that a state is involved in, but what are we about? What we're about is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He's the prime mover for us. Yeah. We go through the motions, that's true. And he mandates that we go through the motions. But ultimately, the prime mover is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. So Pesach is this notion, Pesach, and that's the Haggadah. The Haggadah is the Haidah, the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that took us out of Mitzrayim. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the one that guides us day to day and everything that we do individually and nationally. And we're here to celebrate Haidah, that which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has done for us. Now that's why we have two mitzvahs which parallel each other. We have the mitzvah of Igata Levincha, the Haggadah on the night of Pesach. We have a mitzvah of Zochras Hayom Hazeh Asher Yitzosa Mimitzrayim Beis Avodim, of Zichiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. We should remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus. Now, that mitzvah of Zichiras Yitzias Mitzrayim applies every single day. We do it once in the morning and once at night. So wherein is the difference between the mitzvah of Igata Levincha and the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? And this is a question already which was raised already. The Rishonim already dealt with this. The Haranim deal with it. And almost all the Achrayim, all follow really the school of thought of the Rambam. And let me put it in this fashion. In the Haggadah, we have the story of the Ben Zoma came along and said that you have to have its Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. Right? The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, lo zachisi shetayemer Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos, that's a drosha Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma proved it. You have to say it at night. And we incorporate, it's a Mishnah, the first Perek in Brachos, and we incorporate this Mishnah into the Haggadah. And the question is, why do we have it in the Haggadah? The night of Pesach is the mitzvah of Igata Levincha, not Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The answer is that the beginning of the Haggadah is to introduce to us what the Haggadah is. Now, if not for Ben Zayma, I would have had a very simple answer for what Maggid is, if I didn't accept Ben Zayma's view. I would have very simply said that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is in the daytime, in the morning, and Vigata Levincha is once a year at night, is such a mitzvah on the night of Pesach, and that's the mitzvah of Vigata Levincha. But now that Ben Zayma taught us that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is even Belelis, so I can no longer tell you that the mitzvah of Vigata Levincha is to recite it at night, so there must be some other difference between them. And that's where we come to the notion that Haggadah, it does not suffice merely to mention that Haggadah is the deepest and broadest exploration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the notion of Haggadah. On the night of Pesach, it's not enough to mention it. In Haggadah, we have to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for every facet of what he's done for us. And that's really the pshat in the very, very strange machlokes that we have. We have three views, strange views. It's superficially in the Haggadah. And why is this? What is the meaning of this debate? And why is it recorded in the Haggadah? Well, we have a debate. Three shitas tanoim. How many makas were in Mitzrayim, and how many makas alayim? So we have the first view tells us, well, counting. Ten makas in Mitzrayim, we can count pretty easily. It's 10. And it says, that was etzba lokimu. And it says Mitzrayim, at the Yam, it said, vayar lokimu es ayora chazoko. Ayora gdoyla, rather. The Yerushalayim's yad. So a yad is 5 fingers. It's 5 times as much. It's 50. Then we have the second view, Charon Apa, Evro, Bazam, etc. So each makas comprised the 4 makas. So we said 4 times 10 is 40, and 4 times 50 is 200. And along came Rabbi Akiva and said that no, each makas comprised the 5 ones. What did these Tanoim want? What was their purpose? And what's the purpose of putting this into the Haggadah? Sof go sof. Whatever it is, however you want to count it however you want. What's the point? Because Haggadah, as I told you at the beginning, Haggadah is Haido, thanksgiving. When I thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I have to thank him for everything that he's done for me. And therefore, I have to explore what exactly did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam do? How many miracles did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam do for me? And I have to thank him for each one. In Haggadah, it's important to define everything that I've received. I can take nothing for granted from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, for these Tanoim, and that's the centerpiece of the Haggadah, is to explore how many Nisam HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Because that's how much I thought that we have to give him. So this is the notion, that's the notion of the Haggadah, is the notion of Haggadah.
With all this in mind, would there be anything wrong with like speeding through the first part and getting this?
No, I have no problem at all. The truth of the matter is, as I said, the essence of the Haggadah, and that's what Chazal say, is the Parshas Arami Yoivinovi. You know, it's very, very hard to undo that which all the schools have done. You know, everything that they teach about the Haggadah is up to Arami Yovirovi. All of a sudden, when you get to Arami Yovirovi, they don't teach anything, basically. But this is the essence of it. And this really, Rabbi says, is the side of something else. There's also, there are, in the Gemara says that since there are 4 cases, so we recite a mitzvah on each of the cases. So the first one is Kiddush, the second one is the CPTS Mitzrayim, the third is the Berachas Hamazon, and the fourth case is Goyim Min HaOlam HaSahalo. Tomorrow. Kuf Yud Zayin. On the base. So I asked a very simple kasha. I would imagine that each case is to elevate and celebrate some part of the Seder. What's a Koshel Brocha? A Koshel Brocha, the Shultis writes in Parshas Yisro. Then where do we get the notion of a Koshel Brocha? We make Kiddush Alayayin, etc. It comes from, the Shultis says, V'nein Shira El Alayayin. The Shira in the Beis HaMikdash had to be in conjunction with Yayin. So our Shira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'Yayin, and that's the whole Indian of Koshel Brocha. That's what the Shultis writes. So if it's a Shira, so I would imagine that each part of the Shira is oriented towards the Seder. The first one is Kiddush Hayom, that's part of the night, the Kiddush HaSalayla, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Hallel. So my Shaila is, the third Kiddush is Birchas HaMozen. Birchas HaMozen at the Seder is very nice, but why is it different than Birchas HaMozen that I'll say tonight? So why is that a worthy place to place one of the Kaisas? It would seem that all the Kaisas should be Shira for the themes of the Seder. So why is it that Chazal took the third Kais? Could have, you know, made the second the one for Sipur Yetzias, the third one for the beginning of Hallel and the fourth for the end of Hallel. So why did they choose Birchas HaMozen? Birchas HaMozen does not seem really to deal with the issue of the Seder. It's a mitzvah. They have that mitzvah 365 days a year. So that's why I mentioned to you at the beginning that directly we explore 3.5 psukim. Where we stop is where the person that brought the Bikurim continues in Parshas Kisavo. Vayivienu l'amokom hazeh, and the Rabbeinu Shalom brought me, he brought me out of Mitzrayim, and he brought me to this place in Eretz Yisrael, v'yitun lanu esaretz hazeh, eretz zavos chalav v'dvash. A beautiful land. And I bring the first fruits and I place them in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Haidah works in two fashions. Haidah when the person gives the Bikurim, and that's Haidah when we give Haidah to the Rebbeinu Shlomo on the night of the Seder. What do we go back to? We don't start our Yetzias Mitzrayim. Arami Oyeverovi, all the circumstances that played a role, all the factors which led to this event. So we go all the way back to its root of Arami Oyeverovi. That's one side of Haidah. There's another side of Haidah too. When a person did a chesed for me, and now he saved my life. And now I observe all the repercussions that came from that. What are all the things that happened afterwards? I came, I married, I had children, I had grandchildren. Those are all the things that happened after he saved me. But I have to give him Haidah for that as well. Haidah is not only what he did for me and all the factors which led to that Haidah, but Haidah has to be given for everything that comes from that Haidah too. What happened afterwards? He took me out of Mitzrayim, Vayivienu al Amokam Hazeh. That's for the person of the Bikurim that's here and now. When we look at Yetzias Mitzrayim, so what do we thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for in Birchas HaMozen? We ate. We thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he gave us the Torah and Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, all the things which came about in the aftermath of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's not enough that we thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Birchas HaMozen is a Birchas HaMozen which is a necessary part of the Haidah that we give to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam at the Seder. Because it takes us from the now, from the moment, and it says, well, what came from that moment? All the gifts that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us from that moment, I have to thank him for that as well. So I thank him for the gift. He took us out of Mitzrayim. That led to the Torah, that led to Eretz Yisrael, that led to the Beis HaMikdash. Haidah has to encompass that too. So the third coast, the Shira of the third coast, is a Shira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which he's done for me. The repercussions of the chesed that he did for me. That's also part of the Haidah. maybe that's also lies at the roots. That the Rambam tells us of the special aspects of Haggadah, that it has to be with Shailas and Tshuvas. It's a question and answer format. It is not enough to get up and give a long-winded lecture about everything which took place in Tzchiras and Yetzias Mitzrayim. That does not suffice. I'm not Yetzir Mitzvah that way. It has to be in question and answer format. There's so much has to be in question and answer format that if two Talmidei Chachamim, two great sages, Goyinim, are sitting with each other, at the Seder, and there's no one else, so one has to ask the other. And if I'm sitting by myself with the Seder, I have to ask myself the questions. What's the necessity of that? The necessity of that, when I approach it from the standpoint of a question with an answer, strikes more deeply. I have a problem, and then I come to the solution. There's an experience that's more than the intellectual experience. It's an experience of discovery. It's a problem. This is the answer to that problem, the context, the discovery of it. Because as we started off, the night of the Seder is not per se an intellectual experience. And there's a whole debate in the Shulchan Aruch we find, and the Briskas take up on this, that the, it says in the Tosefta that you should discuss the halachos of Pesach. So the Briskas want to say that beyond the things that Reb Chaim said, in Tzchiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. And with Magid, you can discuss the Hilchos Pesach too. Along came the Vilna Gaon. I'm surprised the Briskas didn't take note. And the Vilna Gaon said the Hilchos Pesach, which is quoted in the Torah from the Tosefta, is a tois, doesn't belong there. Took his pen and he crossed it out. Because Magid is not the halachas. Magid is the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chayav Adam Liros is Atmo Kilu Hu Yotza LeMitzrayim. To experience what it means at that moment, that what it means to me that we went out of Mitzrayim. And I think someone asked me, how could we experience? How could we experience Chayav Adam Liros as Atzmo Kilu Hu Yotza LeMitzrayim? I think what we first ought to do, would be a lot better off trying to do, is to think back to things closer to our time and the things that the Rabbeinu Shem spared us from. We realize, you know, that two generations ago, the experience of Klal Yisrael and the Holocaust, and the Rebbeinu spared us from those things and brought us back from that utterly low level. If we stop to think what that means, we'll start to understand what it means. Chayav Adam Liros as Atmo Kilu Hu Yotza LeMitzrayim. The realization of the gifts of where the Rebbeinu Shalom brought us back from. Halolav Oiv De Avoy Dezor, Halolav Oiv De Avoy Dezor. When we were in Mitzrayim in 2 centuries, we lost our spiritual compass almost completely. And from there, the Rebbeinu Shalom raised us up to be Mekabel the Torah at Har Sinai. So we talk about Chayav Adam Liros as Atzmo Kilu Hu Yotza LeMitzrayim, to consider that which the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed upon me. So if we can relate to things which are closer to us and realize the gift of Hashem, we can start the process of relating to those things which would seem at first to be very distant from us. That's the Yisoyed of the Seder as I do. And the realization of what the Rebbeinu Shalom has bestowed upon us. I mentioned yesterday, Chazal tell us and we talmida yeser mikulam. That we learn more from our students often than we do from any other method. More than from our teachers, more than from our peers, from our students. A child once asked me, he was 8 or 10 years old, something in that age range. And he studied the Mishnayos in Psochem. And he asked me a very incisive question. The Mishnah says, the first Mishnah in Arvei Psochem, Arvei Psochem, Somach Lemincha, Erev Pesach, close to the time in the late afternoon, close to the time of Pesach, Vayochal Odom Ad Shetechshach, we're not supposed to eat until nighttime, for the reason that we should have appetite to eat the matzah. Fine. Then the Mishnah continues, Vavilu Oni Shebi Yisroel, even the most impoverished amongst the Jews, Lo Yochal Ad Sheyaseh, should not eat without reclining. So this child asked me a very simple question. What do we need the word Shebi Yisroel for? I mean, to whom was the Mishnah written? For the Irish, for the Italians, or for the Jews? Right, the Mishnah starts off in the beginning of a Sechta Brochus. Me'emasai Kerin Shema Barovin. What's the time that we have to recite the Kriya Shema at night? The Mishnah say Me'emasai Yisrael Kerin as a Shema Barovin? Or it's self-understood. The one that Rabbeinu HaKodesh is addressing in the Mishnah is Klal Yisrael. It's not addressing anyone else. So what do I need? I feel the only Shem Yisrael. Why Ani Shem Yisrael? So I answered him that Rabbeinu HaKodesh was addressing a question, and he alluded to the answer to that question. Who did Haseba? Noblemen, wealthy people. Yeah, you know, you have to afford the lifestyle. You know, you're going to sit and recline at a meal. Now, if you have to jump up to get the Coke from the fridge, it's more bother than it's worth to be reclining. It's hard to get up. So the implication is that you don't have to get up, right? You have servants to take care of you. If you have servants to take care of you, you can afford to recline. Then it's comfortable. So this is the manner of wealthy people, of nobility. I'm a humble man. I'm an impoverished person. It's not part of my lifestyle. So why should I recline at the Seder? So Rabbeinu HaKodesh answered, Rafilu Oni Shebi Yisrael. The Tana tells us, Kol Yisrael B'nei Melochem, you know, the Rabbeinu Shalom bestowed upon us nobility. Boni Matem LaShem Elokecha. We are the Rabbeinu Shalom's children. And he's given us nobility. And therefore, every Jew has to feel within himself that nobility. The physical circumstances in which he lives are insignificant in terms of the nobility that he feels before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I remember every year when I come to Pesach, I had the privilege to learn with Rav Leizer Plachinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He described for us in Lithuania, he said, Pesach, he said, is the most magical of the Yom Tov. There's something unique and exalted about it. So much so, he says, even the non-Jews wanted to touch the spirit of Pesach. They realize there's something here. This is unique. He says, he remembers in Lithuania when the mailman would come, and the mailman used to wear caps in those days. He says, the best tip that you could give him this time of the year is to give him a piece of matzah. This was better than money, better than anything else, a piece of matzah. And he remembers, he says, the mailman took a bite of the matzah, he ate some of the matzah, and then he took the rest of the matzah, put it under his cap, and he told him he's taking it home to his wife and children, so that he should also share for the matzah. That's what the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us. The Rabbeinu Shalom has given us the ability to transcend time and place, to experience Boni Matem LaShem Elokecha, no matter where we are in the world, no matter what the circumstances. And Achas Kama V'Kama, certainly if the Rabbeinu Shalom has bestowed benign circumstances upon us, then we can certainly experience the Bonim Matan Rasham Alokeicha and Amen Kei Yirot.
So the first part of the rule, we have the part of saying Eila Chukim V'Mishpat. So what do you have?